Talktainment Radio, worldwide sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard. You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio, that is TalkTainmentRadio.com, and you are now in touch with The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is radio the way it should be heard. If you'd like to get in contact with the show, all you have to do is call 1-877-932-9766, or you can Gmail me. Now listen, if you do Gmail me, I will get to it if I can. It would be better if you called and got your call right on in there, because right now I do have at least three waiting, Daryl, Glenda, and Kevin. I am efforting to get to your questions, but we have to answer the phones first, so I am told, because, you know, when the donate hour comes, we have to pay for that phone call, so we gotta get those. But anyway, our topic is open phone, if that's going to be a topic, and have Mr. Fuller answer your questions or whatever it is that you would like to answer. Mr. Fuller, continuing on the second hour, or rather the first hour at the end of it, and you were mentioning and you brought up an example. If white people who did not believe in racism were in charge to overtake those racist people, that we still would not have a justice?
No, because, see, that's to say that is to say that if racism had never existed, then we'd have a world in which there was no mistreatment. Well, there's no reason to believe that's true. Racism didn't always exist, presumably. So what kind of world did you have before racism existed? Did you have a world of justice where nobody was being mistreated? And there's no record that shows that. And there's no reason to believe that, logically.
Okay.
I mean, somebody was being mistreated. And what we want is a world in which nobody is mistreated. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. But while we're getting rid of racism, we have to keep in mind there's a reason why we're getting rid of racism. Racism is about domination and mistreatment based on color. But dominating and mistreating anybody based on anything should be gotten rid of.
Okay.
You don't dominate and mistreat anyone at any time.
For
5 minutes of any day, mm-hmm. anywhere on this planet. It's not supposed to exist. Mistreatment of people is not supposed to exist in any form, whether it's based on color or whether it's based on anything. So-called capitalism, communism, socialism, whatever kind of republicanism, democracy.
Yes, sir.
Is anybody being mistreated? That's the question. Anybody, regardless of who the person is and where the person is and how much education the person has or how much money, is anybody being mistreated here? Now, if somebody's being mistreated, stop the clock right there, because nobody is supposed to be mistreated. Find out who that person is being mistreated and stop that mistreatment. That should be the kind of world that black people walk around with in their heads every day, myself included.
Yes,
we want a world in which there's no mistreatment of anybody, not for 5 minutes. And if anybody's being mistreated, everybody's supposed to pay attention to it and say, wait a minute. wait a minute. We don't do nothing until this mistreatment is taken care of.
Yes.
And in addition to it, it's another part of getting justice, is everybody getting the help that they need, the most constructive help.
Yes.
And that's got to, the answer to that has got to be yes. Otherwise, we stop the clock right there.
We stop the clock, yes, sir.
Yeah, somebody's not getting the help that they need. The person that needs help the most is not getting it. No. That's completely unacceptable. No excuses.
Alrighty.
Everybody's supposed to get help.
Everybody. Okay.
Right.
Let's go to line one. Line one. Okay, yeah. Line one, you're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Hi, Dr. Fuller. Hi, Mr. Bobby. Before I want to go to my question, I just want to say thank you to Dr. Fuller for the tremendous work. And I think the United Compensatory Code, Counter-Racist Code, is what black people need to get out of racism. Dr. Fuller, my question is about economic empowerment on black people, because what I've noticed is that black people specifically don't have economic opportunities in the United States. So poverty is one of the greatest tools used against us for our mistreatment and for black incarceration. So my question is, what can black people really do to provide more economic opportunities so that black people can get off the street? Because most black youths really want to work, but they don't have economic opportunities. So what can we really do to provide jobs for our young youth and for our black people that are coming out of prison? We know jobs are available for them to do. So I think if we can tackle that problem, it's going to play a huge role in black improvement in the United States of America.
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
Well, if I understand the question, I heard President Donald Trump last night talking about supporting capitalism. Okay, now in the textbook for victims of white supremacy that I wrote, I say it's three ways that I know of, unless, you know, and I'd like for somebody to tell me other ways, if there's a fourth or fifth way. It's just three ways to be a capitalist. You invent something or produce something. You produce something or invent something, whichever words you choose, that people want or need. That's one way to get capital.
Okay.
You go in your garage or go in your basement or go to your dining room table or your kitchenette table if you're in a small apartment, and you try to come up, you get in your computer or you get a piece of paper and a pencil and you write down and try to come up with some ideas for something that people want or need. And then you go out and try to produce that something. That's an invention. Now, very few people invent anything. Very few people. We call them inventors. Very few people come up with what you might call scientific breakthroughs, where they come up with something completely new, something nobody expected. And it's got to be something that people want. It may be, you know, not of much value, but it's, people want it. Like alcohol, you know, a new type of whiskey and whatnot. So you avoid doing any of that. But you try to come up with a constructive invention that people want or need. Now, that's the smallest group of people on this planet that can come up with that.
Mm-hmm.
They're a very small group of inventors. Very few people have the type of mind who can invent something. Now, what's the next category and the biggest category of raising capital? Robbing and stealing. Now, you have to stop and think about that. But if you start talking about the people who raise capital on this planet, going all the way back, you can use the Roman Empire and the Grecian Empire as examples. What did they do in order to gain capital? Most of them were known as what? Julius Caesar and whatnot. What was he known for? Conquering. Okay, that's robbing and stealing. Christopher Columbus. How did he get all the capital that he got. Robbing and stealing. Oh, yes, he had a little seed capital. I'm just giving this as an example.
Yeah, example.
I'm talking about
right.
The second category. Christopher Columbus had an idea, according to the history book that I've read, and according to some teachers, he had an idea that he wanted to sail across an ocean and find new lands. Is that okay? According to what I've heard, that's correct. But he didn't have any capital for doing so. So he went to a king and a queen named Ferdinand and Isabella. Now, he said, you all have capital. I don't have any. You got some money, and I'd like for you to finance me a few ships to go across a vast ocean and see if I can find something over there. Because I believe the world is round. That's what I've been told. And Ferdinand and Isabella said, okay, we got capital. But now while I'm saying that now, Christopher Columbus, watch this. He's asking somebody who has capital. So a question comes up now to people that he asked for capital, Ferdinand and Isabella, how did they get capital? Robbing and stealing. That's what I found in the history books. Most kings and queens rob and steal. Most of them. King Leopold, I mean, name the list of kings
please.
All down through history.
Yes, yes.
Robbing and stealing. That's how they got what they got, so they can set up in those fancy castles.
Mm-hmm.
So Christopher Columbus went to someone who already had capital, but the people that he got it from had a record of robbing and stealing.
Okay. What did you say was the first one?
The first one is inventing something.
Oh, inventing, okay.
Oh, yeah, this is nice. I mean, somebody invents something that people want or need, invent a motor car, you know. Somebody invents an airplane. Oh, you need an airplane to fly over the mountains rather than try to climb them.
Okay.
You know, mountain after mountain to get somewhere. And a motor car, you know. And lots of things have been invented.
Okay,
communications, right. The second category, and I have this outlined in the book.
Okay.
Right, is robbing and stealing.
Okay, what's number three?
And number three is begging.
Okay.
Begging what? Like Christopher Columbus did? He begged. He begged. That's what he did. What's the difference between begging and asking? Begging is asking twice. Most people, when they want a loan, they're actually begging. That's what Christopher Columbus wanted. He wanted a loan. He said, I'm going to pay you all back if I can find something to pay you back. But now when Christopher Columbus got to the other side of the water and found some people, what did he do to raise capital?
Rob
and stole.
Steve, yeah.
See, this is something they don't teach in school. And, well, I understand why. But, you know, if we're going to be capitalists, and the gentleman has just called in, that's why I'm taking up this point. Because we are told by presidents and everybody, don't be a communist, don't be a socialist, that's a bunch of garbage. That ain't going to work. And chances are, what they are saying, they may be telling the truth. I guess, because I don't even know what socialism is or communism is. Really. I mean, I say so in my book.
Yes, sir.
These are words. But if you're going to say capitalism, how do you get capital? So what I say for the average black person who has absolutely nothing, stop robbing and stealing. Don't go that route, because they'll set up to trap you on that. So I'm saying black people all over the world should stop any kind of, don't even, if you're on a job, don't you pick up a pair of pliers or anything without getting permission. Why? Because it's a poor way to get capital in the correct way in the world that we want and the type of people we want to be. Because we have a reputation for copying the white supremacists when it comes to getting capital. You know, when black people come around, look for them to start robbing and to stop stealing.
Wow.
We got to get rid of that reputation.
Right.
Because we got that from them.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the way to raise capital. Robbing and stealing.
Okay.
And, you know, you can steal by lying. All right?
Yes.
All right? That, you know, a whole lot of capital is raised by people lying to you.
All right.
I mean, you go to a bank. I mean, you know, the bank president might lie to you about how much interest you're going to pay and all this. Okay? You find out that you're trapped in some type of mortgage that you sign your name to. I mean, now they're taking your house, but you didn't know that. That's robbery.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So, you know, but we don't want to be those type of people anymore. We already have a reputation for that. And the white supremacists definitely have a reputation for it because that's how they got everything. They invented things, but they got in position to invent things by robbing and stealing. Right.
All righty. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7 no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news and lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's three that I'm going to share with you. Pastor O Speaks, The Kinsman, and At the Table. Now, all these shows that I just mentioned and the three that I mentioned in the first hour are all exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. And all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage. There's a bar up there, and just hit the one that says Programs and a list of all the programs that we have comes up, and you are eligible to select anyone that you would like to hear what's going on. As a matter of fact, there's a 24-hour stream of different programs that are constantly on. Why don't you take a chance and tune in to some of those programs? Just go to TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage. Click on Programs for the scheduled times. All this is from TalkTainmentRadio.com. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and we are having what we call open phone, and what that means is you can ask Mr. Fuller any question. Keep in mind, please, that all of his answers will be in the compensatory counter-racist code form. You have to understand that or you're going to miss it. And speaking about that, call 1-877-932-9766. I still got you, Daryl, Glenda, and Kevin. I still got you coming up. But right now, we got to go to line one because I'm getting the finger. Line one, you're on.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
All right. Mr. Fuller, what you was just talking about in that last segment, that led into my question. Can you please expound and explain how the system of white supremacy is held together by words and how the white supremacists are the masters of words and their master deceit?
Oh, well, there's all kinds of examples of that. I mean, words, advertising, you know, if you're going to buy something. Black people rush out to buy stuff. Black Monday in the Northwestern Hemisphere. I mean, we stand out there in the cold and whatnot. Based on what? Words. We're saying, hey, sale. Come in here and buy. You know, and it's reduced prices. 75% off. And 75% off of what? You know? Well, we'll find out when we get there. Let's get down there and get in line. All right, so we're going to go in there and we're going to buy. Those are all words. You are motivated by words to do that, standing in the cold. And it was words that brought you there. So the white supremacists, they understand advertising. They're the masters of advertising. They're the masters of words all over this planet. Even when they go among people of color and they can't speak the language, they'll learn to speak it, and then they'll teach their language to the people. They'll make sure of that. I saw in this morning's paper, where in the Cameroons, black people are killing each other about language that they got from the white supremacists, French and English. This morning's paper, you might find it in your local papers, in the Cameroons. It's in the Washington Post. People, black people, in the Cameroons, they said piles of bodies. About what? language. Some of them speak English, and some of them speak French. Now, these are black people in Africa, and they are killing each other about whether they're going to speak French or whether they're going to speak English. And these were languages that came from white people. See, so, and what is language? Words. And there's a, such a thing in the Northwestern Hemisphere called the magic word that black people use as a slang. It's the N-word. That's a word that everybody gets upset about. I mean, it's very controversial, so much so that I have to say it on the air, the N-word. I can't say the word itself, all right? Words are important. Words motivate people. I mean, Malcolm X in the movie, Malcolm X, by Spike Lee, one of the scenes in the early part of the movie, Malcolm X is in a bar or something like that, and he's talking to someone, and the someone said something about his mother, and he hit him over the head with a bottle and said, "Don't you ever in your life say anything about my mother," all right? Because back in the 1940s, and even today it might be, but certainly I remember back in the 1940s, you could get away with saying a whole lot of things, one black person to another. But if one black person said something about a person's mother, that automatically meant a fight.
It sure did.
That might mean killing, all right?
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now, real quick.
Real quick.
Okay? But it was words. I mean, it didn't mean that if the person said something derogatory about a person's mother, it didn't mean that that was true. But the arrogance that you showed in saying it became a matter of life and death. It became important. It's words that are passed around a table when so-called nations go to war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you know, they have what you call declarations of war. Franklin Roosevelt made a big speech in 1941. He said that the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor. And he's asking the Congress, he was using words, to retaliate by declaring war on the Empire of Japan. Now, these were words. And these words were very stirring and got people stirred up to go to war. And they went. Okay? And Winston Churchill is supposed to be a person who got inspired people to endure the bombing in World War II based on words. He went around and he made a big speech saying we will fight them on the beaches, if I remember some of the words correctly. Say we will fight them from street to street. We'll fight them from room to room and from housetop to housetop. We'll never surrender. And the people were stirred up by these words. And they acted accordingly. Words can motivate people to do a lot of things. And one thing that black people got to get out of the habit of doing is falling for words that lead them down a path of destruction.
All righty. Let's see here. Daryl, Glenda, Kevin, and now Jane Lance. I got you, but I got to take the phone calls first, so I'm told. But I will read those Gmails whenever I get the chance, and I'm getting another finger. Line one. I'm going to get you about that finger, man. Line one, you're on. Go ahead with Mr. Fuller.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Fuller. I was listening to a talk show, and some people were saying that you got some black people who were born gay, because I was talking to you about all these young women who are sleeping with each other, black women. And I was thinking about what you would say about that, and I was thinking Dr. Fuller would probably say that the white supremacists, they control the sexuality of all black people in America. Who you date, how you going to date them, and when you going to date them. What is your comment about that?
Well, even the concept of dating, which I say something black people shouldn't even buy into, that whole ritual, just as phony as it can be, that's not the way to... People should just interact with each other normally. You don't set aside any type of orchestrated setup. I mean, you're just around people. People will gravitate toward people that they need to be with. That's the best way for it to happen. It just happens, all right? It happens. I mean, you gravitate. You don't set something up and orchestrate it with a box of chocolate and some perfume and, I mean, and you date. What's a date? A date is something on a calendar. I mean, you don't go by any of that. Any of these rituals that have been set up for black people is just as phony as it can be. And anything that's phony is not going to work out very well. And now the white supremacists, as far as this categories of sexuality, they know that if they control the sexuality of non-white people, that they got them in all the other areas of activity. There are 9 areas of activity: economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, that just about covers everything that everybody on the planet is doing from one minute to another. They're engaging in one or more of these categories of activity. And all of these categories blend into each other. What affects what happens in religion affects what happens in sex and in education and in entertainment. And what happens in the area of entertainment will affect what happens in politics or in economics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are just words or labels that just cover people in their behavior and their interactions with each other. And the white supremacists know how strong sex is. When people start getting sex urges at an early age, they at first, like most people, I think, I know it was the case with me, I didn't know what was happening, except my body is calling on me to do something, okay? And so the white supremacists are well aware of this. It's called sex urges. Your sexuality is coming, you know, that urge to do something with your sexual organs, which you're not even aware that you got sexual organs until you start getting those feelings, okay? And the white supremacist says, if we get control of black people's sexual feelings and try to catch them as early as possible, or propagandize through the use, like the call-in said, of words, start saying, hey, it's not just male with female. I mean, that's basic. That's what you call straight in a slang term. It's not even listed as a category now. When you see LGBTQ, if you're going to have all the categories so far, and there will be more, you should have S in front of those. Because that's the basic category, male with female. But that's not even listed anymore. See what the white supremacists are doing?
Mm-hmm.
They're not even listing straight. But that is a slang term, like gay is a slang term. I mean, you know, gay used to mean happy, all right? Now it might mean anything, okay? So the white supremacists are systematically all over the world taking control of black people's sexuality so that in a few generations, they won't have to control black people in any other thing because just through sexuality alone.
Got to leave it there, Mr. Fuller, right there. They're calling me for a station break here. Talk to him at radio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download the Talk to him at radio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We'll have Mr. Fuller finish that on the LGBTQ community and all that and more coming up next on Talk to him at radio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour.
However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Ready to warm up from this cold weather? Cruise Planners will help you find the perfect vacation spot. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, the Caribbean to Las Vegas to Disneyland, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447. For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's Ash Kickin.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Sex Code War by Kahari and Aharo. The author of the Essence Magazine bestseller, Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals. Or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. I am Mr. Bobby, the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and our topic today is open phone, where Mr. Fuller is answering or your questions with suggestions. And don't forget that his answers will be in the compensatory counter-racist code. Now, you need to get this book that he's going to talk about in a few minutes or a quarter till the hour to understand what he's talking about. Not only get the book, but read the book and understand what's going on. 1-877-932-9766. This is why I don't make promises, because I have some people who have some very good questions. Daryl, Glenda, Kevin, and Jane. And if you call in, or if you call into the Gmails, I'll have to add you on the list, because I'm not going to get to the I'm not going to get to it unless they hung up. Did they hang up? Okay, go ahead. All right. Well, guess what, Daryl? I'm going to get to your question here, which is a good question, but Mr. Fuller, I think you've already answered today, but I'm going to read it anyway. Daryl, here's your question. Mr. Fuller, two of the hottest topics trending in the black America right now are Governor Northam of Virginia and actor Liam Neeson. Both admitted to past incidents of racism 35 and 40 years ago, but black folk and the mainstream whites want them to suffer, want them to resign and apologize even more. So my question is, and I know you feel like a broken record saying this almost weekly, but just for more clarification and for other new listeners out there who don't know, question. Should we continue to act out of constant shock and outrage when we learn that a suspected white supremacist said or did something racist in the past, or should we expect these things, move on, and carry on with the mission of empowering ourselves and getting on code?
Excellent question, because it has to do with what do you do? Now, what's the best thing to do with any white person in a system dominated by racism? Okay? That's the government of the entire world. So nobody should be surprised at any white person who steps forward and say, you know, I'm doing something that's racist, or I'm saying something that's racist. First of all, get rid of the surprises. Just stop being surprised. Stop being shocked. Stop being hurt. And just assume what the counter-racist code says. Any white person who is able to be a racist in the system of white supremacy, and that is the only government on the planet that's worthy of the name government, any white person who is able to be a racist probably is one and should be suspected of being one. I'm going to say that again. And the key word here is able. Any white person anywhere on the planet who is able to be a white supremacist probably is one, and according to counter-racist logic, should be suspected of being one. white person who is able, key word is able, if that white person is able to be one, that white person probably is one. Why? Because the system of white supremacy demands that if you are classified as white, that you practice racism. So I shouldn't be surprised. Nobody should be surprised at anything that a white person does that shows that he or she is a racist. Nobody. Not ever. Under any circumstance. Be surprised. Surprised. In a system, in a world government that demands that if you are white, you are supposed to be one. That's not an option.
That's not an option. Absolutely.
Yes. See, so therefore you always, so what do you do? What you do is just keep doing what you're doing, and that is ask for what it, make that list of what it is you want out of whatever white person you happen to encounter. And say, these are the things that I want. And I want them for constructive purposes, and I am asking you to help me to get them. Because I don't have any other way of getting what it is that I should have in order to do constructive things.
Mm-hmm.
If you are non-white and you're on this planet and you're going to get anything of constructive value, either directly or indirectly, you're going to get it from the white supremacists.
Okay.
Why? Because if you're non-white on this planet, you are already a prisoner of war. So you have to ask someone who fits the description of wardens and guards in that prison for whatever you get.
All right. All right. Thank you, Darryl, for your question. Let's go to what line am I on here? Line number one? Okay. Line number one, quickly, you're on with Mr. Fuller.
Yes, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby. That United Independent Compensatory Cult System concept, I was thinking about moving it to a justice political party to start in Detroit, and we can produce justice and correctness in the political party nationwide, and everybody could be United Independent Compensatory Cult System concept justice party. You think that'll have an effect on the destruction of white supremacy with racism, Mr. Fuller?
It would if the white supremacists okay it, but they could do that without doing it. See what I mean? We have to understand we are in a system of white supremacy. And we have to, the way that I've been doing it recently, because people seem to always get that mixed up. We even use the terms like in the United States. We're talking about a world government. I mean, so it's the same everywhere, even if it doesn't look like it's the same. It's the same.
We have trustees in it. If we went for political party, we'd be trustees in this system.
Well, see, political parties, these are just labels. We have one government. This is the one thing that's most difficult for most people to understand. It's not like it's two or three different governments. It's all one government. And in capital letters, that government has a name. The name of the world government is the system of white supremacy, and it's a prison system for all non-white people. That's what it's for. And non-white people, black, brown, red, yellow, are all prisoners of war. We are already in captivity. So therefore, it's just like prisoners. Just think about the prison system now, any prison system. Prisoners say that, well, we're going to get together and form a political party. Okay. So prisoners can form a political party out there in the prison yard. They get together and, you know, but they're going to still be doing the same thing. I don't care what they name it. They're going to be begging the warden for whatever they need. I don't care what kind of party they're in. These are just labels. The name of the label that black people have is prisoner of war. Victims of white supremacy. Victims of white supremacy are prisoners of war. We are already born in captivity. They're not looking for us to be captured. They're not trying to look for us to round us up and put us into captivity. We were born in captivity. That's why we don't even recognize it as being a prison. Because we never knew anything else other than prison. So in answer to the question, Yeah, we can form little groups, but the group is going to wind up doing the same thing. I don't care what name you use. And that's begging the white supremacists for whatever we need. But what I do in my books, people have said, well, Paul, if you look at it that way, it's hopeless because, you know, your book don't mean nothing. Why bother? That's a legitimate question. But I'm saying a prison can be dismantled from the inside if we follow the rules of dismantling a prison. Anything that people put together and the system of white supremacy was put together by people can be taken apart by people, but you have to know how it's put together.
That's what Andy Dufresne did, didn't he?
Absolutely. See, he studied the prison, everything about the prison, not just one or two things. You got to study everything about the prison.
That's right.
You got to study, you know, what the plumbing is, how the warden operates. Definitely how the warden operates. You don't watch other prisoners like black people do. That's one thing we got to stop doing. I say this on most programs. I should say it on every program until it sinks in. Black people have a priority of just watching each other and comparing ourselves with each other in everything.
Mm-hmm.
You got a new pair of shoes, I mean, that you got on Black Monday, so I got to have me a pair just like them. Or I got to have a pair that costs $400 more than the pair you got. Now, as a black person, I'm happy. I'm in heaven. Why? Because I outdid this other black person. If we tell the truth, that's what we do.
Yes.
That is black culture.
That is true.
And we got to stop that.
That is true.
And start looking at the people who are running everything.
Mm. Okay.
Stop, fella. You can't learn nothing by studying a fellow prisoner.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Okay, wait a minute. The reason why I'm laughing is because I know somebody that bought a $1,000 pair of tennis shoes.
Mm. Oh, sure. Why? Now, he's not trying to outdo the person that made the shoes. He's trying to outdo the other black person that got a pair that's cheaper.
$1,000?
Yeah. Now, once we do that, we strut down the street just grinning. All right, we are in heaven. We are walking on a cloud. I mean, that's what you call typical Negro thinking.
Woo! Anyway, TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Just download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. And our open topic today, is open phone, where Mr. Fuller is answering your questions by suggestion and also by the compensatory counter-racist code aspect. You got to keep that in mind. But at this time, Mr. Fuller is going to speak about that book that we all should get. I have my copy. Do you have yours? Mr. Fuller, go ahead, please.
You go to producejustice.com, and what will come up on the screen is a brief description of the textbook for victims of white supremacy. And in that book, I tried to address it to individual persons and what each individual person can do and answered all the questions we've been getting on this program can do. An individual person. You're an individual person. You're not everybody. You're just one person. And this thing of getting together with a whole bunch of other black people and doing this and doing that, that hasn't happened and not likely to happen. Because we are not even geared that way, and it takes too long. So the theory is, if you solve the problems of each and every individual black person, whatever problem that black person has right now, right this minute, everywhere on the planet, if you solve the problem of each and every individual black person, non-white person on the planet, you automatically, mathematically, solve the problems of all of the non-white people on the planet. So that's how the book is written. It's supposed to help each individual person, non-white person, victim of white supremacy, solve his or her own problems using the tools that are available in the system of white supremacy. I mean, what you say and what you do. what you don't say and what you don't do in every situation. And it doesn't cover everything that a person can possibly do, but it shows samples of things you can do and say to make your condition better, to improve your condition, to go from a better situation to the best situation, ultimately. And then, by doing that, solve all the problems of the entire world after you solve your own individual problem, that is to put you in position to solve the problems of the entire world, because that's where this has to go anyway. But the book is designed to help the individual person, starting from scratch, starting from right where you are, wherever that happens to be, in the 9 areas of activity, what to do and what not to do, because everything is about what to do and what not to do, and what to say and what not to say. And the book is designed to give a guide to each individual person by what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say, all day long, every day, in order to solve all of the problems. First of all, his or her own problem, and then the problems of the entire world.
Yes,
because
sir.
You're in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Go
mm-hmm.
to producejustice.com.
Okay. All right. Glenda, here we go. We got you. Here, this is TalkTimeRadio.com. You're listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, 1-877-932-9766. Okay, Glenda, we've got to you. She says this, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, what do you think about Black History Month and black people claiming that many major inventions are made by black people? I just saw a post by a black person claiming that a black man invented the cell phone 40 years ago.
Oh, could be. Could be. But the white supremacists, see, we got to always think about what do the white supremacists think, not so much about what we think. And what I say is just what I just said. What do the white supremacists think? The prison wardens, the people that we're subject to, what do they think about our inventions? Well, the record shows what they think about our inventions is, hey, my Negro, my slave, invented a horseshoe for my horse, because that's where I'm going to put it. I'm going to take that shoe and put it on my horse, because he's my slave. Anything that he invents comes to me anyway,
mm-hmm.
because he hasn't invented a system for me not to tell him what to do. So anything that he does, he can feel good about it, and I want him to feel good about it. So, boy, go back in that garage, go back in that barn, go back in your shack that I allowed you to have, and invent something else for me to use.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And bring it to me as soon as you invent it, and I will pat you on your head and kick you in your behind and send you back there to invent something else.
Yes, that is.
Now, do you understand that, Negro? All right. So, black people, what does that mean to me? Doesn't mean anything about what we invented.
Yes.
Why? Because it doesn't mean anything to the white supremacists. That's why.
Yes.
Because they run all of our business anyway. So, us walking around bragging to each other about what we invented in the prison yard, well, I invented some new bars, a stronger type of steel for my cell, and I showed it to the warden. He says, yes, I'll take this and use it
yes.
against you
mm-hmm.
to make your cell even more secure so
yes.
that you don't escape.
Yes. You know, Mr. Fuller, one of my my research areas that I was doing this week was about Eli Whitney, and I was told when I was going to school that Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin, and there's some question of whether Eli Whitney was black or white. But that last statement that you just made, even if he were, because he was a slave owner, what I discovered that any slaves that invented anything if they were a if they were on the plantation or a part of the slave owner, let's say Johnson or Barnes, Mr. Johnson or Mr. Barnes got the credit for the invention and not the slave. So what you said was absolutely on point, absolutely correct, because that's what they did during that particular time. They're probably still doing that. All right, anyway, let's go to this. Kevin, we finally got to you. He says, Mr. Fuller, please ask Mr. Fuller to elaborate on the lessons from the movie High Noon. Thank you.
Oh, the main lesson from Casablanca to High Noon to Bridges of Tokere to a whole bunch of movies that I have named, Bound for Glory, about a musician named Woody Guthrie. It's about individualism. And at the same time, looking at the entire world. You are alone. That's why I wrote my book for the individual person. Always look at yourself as being alone. Black people have this herd mentality. You think that because you are on the other side of town, with a whole surrounded by a whole bunch of black people, you never see a white person, that that's some kind of security. You're just as insecure as you can possibly be. You're not secure. You're looking at fellow prisoners in a prison yard. That's how you should see them. I don't care what kind of neighborhood it is. It's just a fancy prison, that's all, in the system of white supremacy. So what I'm emphasizing is, try to be powerful as an individual person. Stop thinking that you got a whole lot of help because you don't have it. That's an illusion. All non-white people are prisoners of war. You say, well, you know, in the place where I come from, black people, you know, we got a chief of police is black. The mayor is black. I mean, most of the people that are on the board are black, on the school board and all like that. You're still in a prison cell. Folks, wake up and smell the coffee. All of you are in a prison cell. Now, that doesn't say you give up these positions, because you need to learn how to run things. Because prisoners, you know, what does a prisoner know except being a prisoner? And so you learn things while you're in prison and try to learn everything that you possibly can, like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. He set up a library so that he can learn more. Keep learning. Don't stop learning. You have to do that.
Yes, sir.
So if you're given a position of mayor or something like that, don't think that you have some power, because you don't. You know, you have just a title that you have in the prison system, okay? But you still go to your cell. Your side of town is still determined by the white supremacists. The fact that you're a mayor was determined by the white supremacists.
Absolutely.
They set that up.
Okay.
I mean, so always think in terms of you are alone. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing.
That's the main thing. That's what I... These movies that I list, how to act when you're alone. Always think how to think when you're alone.
Okay. All right. Now, as we come to the close of the show, we're not going to we're not going to get a chance to get to this question, but it will be the topic of next week's program. And the question is racism more important than their own survival? That's going to be the topic that we will lead off to. Plus, we'll clean up some other situation. Mr. Fuller, in the final seconds that we have, anything else that you'd like to add of today's program before the music starts?
Well, I'll just elaborate on that main note. The United Independent, that's why I call it the title of the book that I have, that you can get by going to producejustice.com. It's about looking at yourself as being absolutely alone on this planet.
All righty.
As a prisoner of war.
Thank
and
you.
Act accordingly.
Act accordingly.
Listen to everybody and try to improve your condition.
All righty. We got to leave it there until next week. Is racism more important than their own survival? That's next week's question. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. Thank you, Gmailers, all that. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and radio the way it should be heard. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Mr. Fuller.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters.
is why. One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.